Hello and welcome to Zack Attack. We're never going to be better than this. This is episode, don't know the number, but this is a really great way to start off this episode.
Six or seven? Six or seven, depending if you count the bonus or not. I think it's six.
We're going to say it's episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Episode 6, At Any Price, from 2012. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And this was the first movie... No, that's not true, because I never heard of Parkland either. I never heard of this movie before we did this. Did you?
I didn't hear anything about this. I didn't watch the trailer for this one. Nothing. I went in completely blind.
I remember hearing or reading about this a couple years ago, because two falls ago, September 2014... I fell in love with Micah Monroe, who is the actress who's Zac Efron's girlfriend in this.
Oh, cool.
Because at the same Fantastic Fest in Austin, the horror genre film festival, she was in It Follows and The Guest. And
oh,
I was like,
that's
those are,
right. Nope. I remember you actually telling me about her and me being like, eh, she's all right.
Like, The Guest was my favorite movie from 2 years ago. It Follows is, you know, one of my 10 favorite movies from 2 years ago. It sort of came out widespread last year. It would have been, like, one of my 5 favorite movies. Like, I love her in both those movies. And I don't think she's necessarily a great actress. Like, I don't think she's great. Like, she's good in this, I think.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
She's in the new Independence Day. But, like, I just, like, you know, she's super cute. She's in these great movies. And so I remember looking up, like, I had never heard of her. I was just like, who is this girl that, like, I've never heard of before, and is all of a sudden in two of my favorite movies of the year? And she'd only done, like, 10 or so movies by that point, and this was, like, her first, I think, feature film role.
Wow.
And importantly, and which is kind of crazy, because, like, she's got, like, a big part. Like, she's not...
Yeah, no, she's, like, a main actress in this, yeah.
And more importantly is that she, while filming this movie, started dating Zac Efron. So there are a couple on screen and also a couple off screen.
I mean, she's cute. She just looks really young for me. Like, I can't get over it. I mean, like, you know, my sister's, what, 19 or 20 or something, and she looks way too much like my sister and her friends for my taste. It creeps me out a little bit.
She's 23 now, so she would have been, I guess, 19?
So she's dead on, yeah. This is
she's young. Yeah, she's young. I also found out about her that she's apparently a professional kiteboarder, which is like some kind of, like, do you know about kiteboarding?
Yeah, I guess. Is it like, I'm assuming it's like windsurfing, but...
It's a surface water sport combining aspects of wakeboarding, snowboarding, windsurfing, surfing, paragliding, skateboarding, and gymnastics into one extreme sport.
Damn. Okay.
And she's a professional at that. So not only is she, you know, a Hollywood actress, but she is a professional, I don't even remember the name, kite surfer? Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, she kind of looks like a surfer a little bit, right? Like, she has, like, the surfer build going on.
I just saw The Shallows with Blake Lively, and she could definitely fit into that whole, you know, stranded on a rock in the middle of the sea, getting surrounded by sharks.
Yeah, she definitely could. Yeah, that would be awesome.
But this movie, what's weird about this movie on a personal level is that it has two of my, like, all-time crushes. Like, I love Micah Monroe, and Heather Graham is, like, one of my all-time movie crushes.
Is she the skanky one?
She's the one who is cheating, or
the one
who hooks up with Zeph at the end of the movie.
Yeah, dude, I like this chick a lot, too. And she played a great character in this movie. I was really happy with her.
I don't even know, like, what she is in this movie aside from just, like, town slut.
Old skeezer. That's what I refer to her as throughout my notes. She's just old skeezer.
Like, you gotta have a certain kind of mentality to be having this ongoing affair with this dude, and then as soon as you sort of catch wind that his son has talent, then you start, like, macking on him. Like,
it's multi-generational,
like...
But, dude, you have to remember they're in Iowa. So it's like kind of slim pickings. Like, did you see they had like acres and acres and acres of farmland? So, I mean, like, there's probably not that many dudes around.
Well, that's true. And they also make a point of that at one point in the movie, right, where Zeph's like, I have something to do. It's like 2 hours away. And the guy's like, I don't want to drive 2 hours. He's like, we're in Iowa. Like, what else are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they just drive 2 hours, and that's when they steal, I think, the whatever
supercharger.
Yeah.
I went into this totally blind, and this is my favorite Zeph serious movie I've seen. Like, not even ironically, I really enjoyed this movie. I can't believe it didn't get more praises than it did. It was a cool premise. Like, it was something new for me. I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, what are you comparing it to? Parkland and That Awkward Moment?
Yeah. I mean, well, That Awkward Moment's like a romantic comedy, so, like, Parkland was kind of shitty. But, like, you know, we've never really seen Zeph in, like, a serious role. And I think he just nails this one. This was, like, a great movie. There was, like, a lot of complexity to his character. He had some great range in this, you know? Like, I was like, oh, damn, maybe this is why he does so well in, like, some of the other shit that we've seen that's much later, where, you know, his characters are, like, really developed. Like, this was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I will watch this again.
The one thing that sort of disappointed me about this movie, like, I didn't love this movie, but I did like it a lot more than I thought. And we're gonna, I want to talk about a little bit later about the mixed critical reception to this, because I looked up some of that.
Oh, cool, and, like, yeah. It's very
weird. But the one thing that sort of disappointed me about this movie is that we're in Iowa. He's the son of a farmer. By the end of the movie, he's basically a partner or like the soon-to-be inheritor of his dad's farm. And he doesn't have an accent. Like, how do you not have like some kind of like Midwestern accent?
No, this is such an American thing to do. You just like to skim over accents. And besides, Iowans really don't really have an accent, honestly. I've known some Iowans, and they really don't have like an accent. They're actually pretty kind of middle of the range. Like, they say some goofy words and shit, but, like, in the context of the movie, I don't think you'd really know it. But, I mean, of course, Zeph does sound like Zeph. I think he would sound, like, a little bit more washed out. The dad pretty much nails it. He pretty much sounds like an Iowan.
The dad, Dennis Quaid. Because there's the Midwest farmer, sort of that whole aspect to it. And then he's super into NASCAR, so you think that it might be, like, sort of a hickish... Like, he could do like, subtle things. Like, he just doesn't try... Like, it just... he's not doing a bad job acting.
Yes.
Like you said, like, he does a good job acting. He just does not care about trying to put on an accent at all.
Which is good, but if he had a really shitty accent, we'd be talking about how shitty his accent was.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I'm kind of glad that he didn't. I liked it the way it was. It didn't distract me from the movie. I mean, yeah, I agree. At some point, I was like, man, he really sounds pretty Californian right now. But then I was like, you know what, just fuck it. Like, I'm just going to run with this.
When the movie started, did you think it was going to be set, like, in the past, like in the 50s?
I really did that. Okay, because, like we said, I didn't watch the trailer, so I was thinking that we were going to get, like, a 50s farm movie. And then, you know, they hit us with some, like, you know, race car stuff, Zeph, sleeveless. By the way, this is a great way to start a movie. We get a sleeveless Zeph in a NASCAR t-shirt. I was amped. I think they sold me in the first 15 seconds. Like, that part came out, I saw him, no sleeves, NASCAR t-shirt, I was sold.
Because the whole, like, opening to the movie, like, the opening credits is this old-timey sort of slideshow?
Yeah. Like, yeah, like, really old film kind of. Yeah, I get you.
But it seems like it's modern day. Like, there's nothing about it, because, I mean, like, the car part that they steal and, like, sort of the farming equipment, which I should have known, never really thought about it, but, like, you know, that computer system that Dennis Quaid has in his tractor
is,
like,
this shit is badass, right? I want to be... Okay, so, like, throughout my notes, I have, like, many things that just say, like, damn, I should have really lived in Iowa. Like, how badass would it be to be a farmer that he doesn't even fucking drive? Like, you could play phone games in your tractor all day and let the fucking tractor drive you around. That's the most badass thing ever. I think that at this point in my life, I could be a farmer.
Probably could, but I mean, would you want to be? Isn't that kind of boring?
I don't know. Dude, you'd have, like, a bunch of land. You could buy, like, toys, like, fucking race cars and shit and just, like, drive around your, like, property and nobody's gonna even come fuck you up. You can be always drunk all the time. Like, you could do whatever you wanted. Just, like, shoot guns in the air.
So you want to be, like, a combination of, like, Zeph and his dad in this movie. Like, the work of the dad, but, like, sort of the leisure activities of Zeph.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I'm, like, kind of in between in their ages, too, so I could kind of play both parts, you know?
There you go.
Yeah, like, I would, like, be able to just dick around all day and then have my tractor drive itself. Like, I would, like, know enough about the cool technology, be cool with talking to old people. I think I could do this job. I'm pretty sold.
What do they have? They have a corn farm?
Yeah. I mean, everybody in Iowa grows corn. Like, the fucking Iowa State or whatever is the Cornhuskers. That's their team name.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. You're so smart. This is another movie, though. Like, we talked about it, I think, last time, that we've seen, like, it's another crazy different role for him. Like, he's been a farmer, he's been a doctor, he's been a lawyer, he's been a frat dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're getting into the range of Zeph here. Like, he has, like, a lot of range. I was sold on this farmer kid, too. He was playing it really well. Like, I was very convinced, like, you know, the scene when the dad comes up and he's like, no, dad, I'm not a farmer, I'm a race car driver. I was like, wow. He could have been in, like, one of these, like, actual NASCAR movies. Not Talladega Nights, but something close.
It's sort of weird. I mean, like, the whole like, thrust of the movie, like, the whole point of the movie or the whole narrative, like, the conflict of the movie is that he's got this older brother, Grant, who the parents love. And, like, this is the guy who's going to inherit the farm.
He's, like, the prodigal son. He went away. He's going to come back. Right. Everybody loves him.
But he never comes back the whole movie. Which, he, you know...
which blew me away. I was really surprised with this. I thought they were going to bring him back, you know, have Zeff fight him, and this was going to be the conflict, and then, you know, like, it was going to go back to Zeff getting shit on, and this is what was going to happen. And that didn't happen. This is part of the reason why I liked the movie so much. I was just, like, waiting for his brother to come back, and he never did.
Because they literally, I mean, this is sort of a little, I don't know if I like it or don't like it, but they literally roll out a red carpet for his brother to come home. The brother does not come home.
Because they do it another time, too. Are they, like, I don't know if they roll out the red carpet for the brother to come home, or they do it other reason.
I think they rolled it out for the brother. I think they rolled it out for the brother, and they just never picked it up.
Okay, so he was okay. I didn't get that part of the movie. I thought he brought it back in and then took it back out.
Because in the beginning of the movie, when Zeff is having breakfast with Micah Monroe, and Dennis Quaid's like eating breakfast standing up because time waits for no man, yeah, and blah, 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 and he grabs the carpet and he rolls it out. And we don't see it again until the end of the movie where he's sort of like disappointed in everything. That's when he like rolls it back
up. Yeah, when he's frustrated and Candace is leaving. Yeah. This was a very interesting movie, man. I'm stoked about this one. His dad is a seed seller, is he? He sells seeds, but he also like shadily buys property.
No, I don't think he doesn't sell seeds. I think he's just a farmer.
No, but he does sell seeds because he works for, like, he has, like, buy the seeds. Like, that's the whole premise of the movie, right? I know that he's a farmer. I think he also sells seeds, and I think he was, like, buying land on the sly.
Well, no, I think the whole seed thing, if I gathered it right, he gets in trouble by that one guy that he screws over from the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
Who sort of looks like Mike White, who the guy who has written great things and was in Enlightened, and I think he wrote School of Rock. He just sort of disappears in the movie, but he screws this guy over because the movie kind of opens with a funeral, and the dad, real sort of shady move, goes in there and like swoops in on the dead guy's kids and just like, hey, I'll buy your land.
Yeah.
And screws over this farmer who's like basically been renting the land, and then that guy disappears from the movie, and you think it's going to be this other guy who sort of called these agents. But I think the whole, like, that whole thread and the agents who get called to investigate the seeds, I think what the thing is that, like, big agriculture, now that it's more regulated, now that it's, like, a multi-billion-dollar business, they sell these seeds. And, like, in the back in the day, and this is what I got, it might not be right,
okay,
but back in the day, you know, people would plant the seeds and then reuse the seeds that fall or whatever. Now, because they're GMOs and they're, like, more regulated, you can't do that anymore, but that's what Dennis Quaid, I think, was still doing. I don't think he sells it.
No, he does, because he has, like, the records of the... He, like, had to go in and, like, burn up the record. Remember, like, when he, like, goes in? And he, like, that's why he's fighting for, like, territories. He's, like, selling seeds to these guys, and that's why Candace goes with him. Like, that's his job, is, like, to sell seeds, man.
I don't know. Okay, I guess that makes sense. I mean, I think either of them makes sense. I don't know. It's strange.
He was doing both. Like, he was selling the seeds that were grown, but you're not allowed to do that either. You have to sell new seeds every year. And right. So he was, like, reselling the seeds that he had somehow instead of getting rid of them or something. And, like, you're not allowed to do that. And that's why the dude's like, did you plant them in your own crops? And he's like, no, of course not. Like, definitely didn't use the reused seeds. He's like, I just sold them. I don't know enough about farming either to, like, actually get the premise of the movie. Maybe they could have been a little bit better at explaining what was going on, but I'm glad they didn't, because then it would have just been, like, this fucking farming documentary that would have been really boring.
Well, there's one part where, I don't remember what it was. Oh, okay. So I wrote down that Dennis Quaid's under investigation for cleaning and reusing seeds, and they're talking about it in a way that, like you just said, like, I literally have no idea what they're talking about, because they're not talking...
I didn't know you need to clean seeds.
Again, they're not talking in a way that is in a movie. They're talking as sort of like farmers talk.
Yeah.
And then after this conversation ends, Micah Monroe goes up, Cadence goes up, and she's just like, she basically says, what are you talking about? And then he explains to her and he explains to us. So, like, it's cool. Like, I mean,
okay, yeah,
I think
yeah,
that's
was
kind
good,
of the point of her character.
Delivery. Yeah, this is the first movie I think we've watched with Zeff where the writing of the dialogue wasn't shit. You know, like,
I agree with that. I think you have to be careful. I don't think this movie hits that point. I like Inception. I've only seen it once in theaters. I don't really remember much, but I remember a criticism that a lot of people had of Inception was that Ellen Page's character was just, everybody was just, she just was there to ask the questions of the audience, because that movie was so complicated.
Yeah.
That she was just there like, okay, what's going
she
on
now? She
was
driving the story by being a character.
But not like in a good way. Yeah, yeah. It was just sort of like lazy.
But it wasn't like that in this movie. I mean, Candace does it like once or twice. The rest of it we kind of pick up on, you know? Like there's like other things going on that like other people deliver shit. She doesn't feel like the same character as the chick in Inception to me. She's more complicated than that. She has the relationship with Zeph.
Right.
Like, the relationship with the dad. Like, she seems like she fits in the movie.
And I don't think... I'm going to disagree with you about... I don't think he's selling seeds, because I wrote down in my notes that you have to buy new seeds every year. Damn GMOs. She's like, it's kind of like... Like, what you're doing is kind of like bootlegging DVDs.
Then what the fuck do they have the customer appreciation party for? Who are the customers?
I don't know.
Told you, he's selling seeds, dude.
He might be selling seeds, but...
Yeah, he is. That's why he has, like, the records of what it is. That's why she says, let's walk through the fields. You're going to buy seeds from us now. That's why he's competing with Liberty Seeds, the seeds dude. Like, that's his, like, arch nemesis, is this other seed seller guy. And he said he was going to flip-flop back and buy back from him. And, like, the whole, like, you can't change mid-buy. I mean, and you need, the proper authorities to okay it. When they're, like, at the race, when he first sees him at the race, like, they, like, meet up. And he's like, I heard, like, this dude flip back to you. And he's like, yeah, he's like, well, you can't steal my sale in the middle of it. He's selling seeds, dude, for sure.
What's weird about this movie, and I think is kind of cool, I think it's cool, it might be a negative, I'm not sure, but, like, you could enjoy this movie and, like, not care at all about the farming, you could enjoy this movie and not care at all about the race car driving. There's basically three things going on. There's the whole farming subplot, there's the whole racing subplot, and there's just, like, a family drama.
Yes, that's what I liked about this. This was, like, and it was nicely intertwined, too. It didn't feel like three separate movies. It played well together. And there are three things that I normally wouldn't want to watch a movie about, which is why it surprised me so much. Like, I don't give a shit about family dramas. I don't care about farming. And NASCAR really doesn't do anything for me either. So, like, to see them all come together and make, like, a pretty interesting movie from my perspective, I was like, damn, this is pretty good.
Because what's weird, I was remembering as I was watching, because Zeph starts out sort of as, like, this, not like an underground racer, but, like, just sort of like this dirt, like they're like he's racing like figure eights, they call it, and just like this dirt track, and it's dangerous, and like he's good at it, but like it's sort of scary. And then he progresses to NASCAR, like I think NASCAR.
No,
or something,
it's like
representing NASCAR.
It's like minor league NASCAR.
Yeah. But I just like watching that, I'm just like, oh, like this is so boring. Like just watching NASCAR, like I can't imagine. I mean, I know the whole point of why I think a lot of people watch NASCAR is like for the wrecks. And
no, you watch
about
NASCAR
that.
Because you can get really wasted and you don't miss anything. It's the same reason why people watch football, because you can be really drunk and you don't really actually miss much.
Well, because in the movie, you know, they're talking. I think it's the like the mom and the dad are talking, and the mom who's been like in every TV show ever, like Kim Dickens, been in like an eight major TV show that's like a major recurring character. She, like, the dad's like, I can't believe this is so dangerous. She's like, well, nobody would show up if, it, like, there wasn't the possibility of a crash. Like, you know, what he's doing is dangerous, but, like, that's sort of the whole point.
Yeah, that thing's cool. My dad and his friends race, like, on dirt tracks and stuff like this. And, like, I've seen them actually do figure eight races and stuff. And it's fun. Like, normally it's just, like, a bunch of rednecks that, like, just like to, you know, it's, like, their hobby. The cars aren't really expensive. They do all the work themselves like Zeph did. And, like, you just, like, it's just, like, a fun thing, and you win some money, or you can win some money. It's just, like, interesting. But I guess in Iowa, like, which is really cool in the setting, is that if you don't really have much else to do, and the land is so big, and, like, everything's so far away, what are your exciting entertainment options? Watch fucking dirt races, go to high school football games, and stuff like that.
It's Iowa things to do.
Yeah. You know what I want you to imagine? So imagine the scene that they're sitting there. I just had this thought, and I want you to imagine it. Imagine the scene that they're sitting there holding hands in the track, you know, like when they're like in the stands watching Zeph. Now change it with the parents from Modern Family.
Why?
Just because that's just really funny in my head, dude. Like, because when you were saying that mom was on all the TV shows, I was thinking about replacing her in the movie with the mom from Modern Family and just seeing them be, like, really quirky. I just thought it would be funny. It would be way funnier to me.
Because they're both pretty but kind of generic blonde ladies.
Yeah,
although
exactly.
I think Julie Bowen's a lot prettier. I mean, not that Kim Dickens is not pretty, but, like, Julie Bowen, like, Modern Family is, like, beautiful. Like, she's really pretty.
But, I mean, imagine if you had, like, this, like, ditzy, quirky mom and wasn't, like, this, like, stoic Iowan woman. You know what I mean? Like, it would just be a completely different film.
Because what I liked about her is that she's not, like, written as dumb, because at one point in the movie, like, when Dennis Quaid gets home, she's like, I know you're sleeping with that woman, like, I'm not dumb.
Oh, no, she's not dumb at all, dude. She's, like, the coolest character in the whole movie. She's, like, the only thing holding this family together. Like, she has, like, one son dicking around, she, you know, like, she's taking care of Zeph, and, like, the dad's being a dipshit, and then, like, you have her just, like, holding the family and the farm together. She's the only one that's actually doing work, by the way. Did you notice that? She's, like, always getting the mail, cleaning off the tractors, like,
yep.
He's just riding in this GPS shit, like, anybody can do that. That's what I need to do. Actually, I have a note. This wife is the coolest chick ever. I wish Rachel tolerated me banging young women and murdering people.
Spoiler alert, like, at the end of the movie, like, Zeph, sort of in a fit of rage, murders a guy,
yeah.
And then he and the dad dispose of the body, and that's kind of what bonds them. And I'm like, what's the moral of this movie, that, like, murder's okay if it brings a family together?
No. That's what I liked about the movie. It didn't really have a moral. I thought that they were going to go really preachy about it. You know, like, we saw some, like, funeral shots and stuff like that. And even when they had, like, the funeral or, like, the, you know, like, the missing kids ceremony type situation, I thought that they were going to get kind of preachy and, like, he was going to turn himself in and, like, this was for the greater good and he was going to take one for Zeph. But no, it just kind of ends and, like, they're just cool with it. But it's actually really weird that, like, did you notice that, like, the dad is really torn up about it, but Zeph's totally cool?
I don't think it's sunk into Zeph yet, like, what he did. And I think that the dad, you know, the whole, like, at any price, like, the whole name of the movie could literally refer to, like, a million different
things.
Yeah,
in the movie. It was a
and
good
so,
title, too, yeah.
And he's kind of like, you know, it's, in this case, it's like, you know, I'm going to give my kids a good future at any price. Like, I will sort of shoulder the blame and, like, because it's not only that, like, that Zeph doesn't, like, Zeph's cool about it, but, like, the mom, again, in, like, this fit of, like, genius strikes, and she's just like, is this about that missing boy? And the dad's like, yeah, and she says, well, what happened? He says, I killed him.
No, he says, and, he like, says he just, Dean do it?
And he says, no, I did it,
yeah. But I think the dad was, and, that was kind of, like, this, like, meta version of he did it. Like, he knew that he pushed Zeph and didn't give him credit. So, I mean, like, he's saying he did it, but I think everybody really knows that he didn't do it, so.
But then, like, why is, like, no, I don't think, I don't know that everybody knows. I think the family knows, but I don't think everybody knows.
Do you think
because,
the,
like,
dad knows?
That's why
because
it's,
that awkward conversation in, like, the coffee shop, like, when they're sitting there, and he comes up to him, and he's, like, being, like, overly nice to him. Like, isn't that, like, a huge tip-off? Guilty conscience never needs an accuser type situation. Like, he's like, dude, like, I made the sale, but I just want you to know that, like, I'm not going to take it because this. And the dude's like, dude, business is business, man. Like, do what you got to do. I'm dealing with my son here. And he's like, okay. And then he, like, grabs him really weird. He, like, holds his arm, and he's like, is that all? And he's like, yeah. And then he just, like, walks out. I think the dad might know, man.
Yeah, I think dad knows. I think it's...
Like, he knows that they're involved. Like, he doesn't know who did it or who did what, but he knows that they know.
It's weird. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it matters. Like, I don't... Like,
not
it's
really
not...
Matter.
Like, there's no proof, because... Also, like, where... What is that well that they deposited the body down?
We don't know enough about farming, dude. We need to study up on some fucking farming. I'm serious, man. Yeah, did you know that there's just big assholes in the middle of farms that just fall, like, hundreds of feet down?
That apparently, like, you can just dispose of whatever, and, like, not only do people not find it, but, like, people don't even, like, think to look for it there.
Yeah, right? Like, it's like, oh, kid's missing. They're gonna walk through the whole thing. They obviously knew exactly where this big-ass hole was, so this has to be, like, a common farm thing that we just don't know about. What was the target audience for this movie?
I have no idea. I can tell you that the movie made...
It's not enough, like, a teen love story. You know what this, you know what the target audience was for this movie? I actually thought about this when I was watching it. Kids that are too young to do anything but go to the movie theater, and they need a movie to make out to. That's exactly what this movie was.
I guess.
If you're, like, 15, you're going to see a movie with a girl, you want to see something really stupid that you're not going to pay attention to, but enough of a story that you can pretend like you know what it was about when you tell your mom what you did.
Oh, it's about farming, like,
yeah,
there's
a
racing guy
racing
and
thing,
whatever.
Zac Efron that killed someone, and that's, like, that's the whole movie. See, you got, like, you know, four sentences worth of movie. It doesn't even look like you were making out the whole time.
So this movie, okay, here's a guess. How much do you think this movie cost to make?
$35. No, just kidding. All the cars and shit. Maybe $1 million. I don't know. A couple million. I don't know how much movies cost. I have no frame of reference.
$5 million.
Oh, yeah.
How much do you think it made at the theater?
20. 487,000. Damn. Wow.
They lost a lot of money on this movie.
Really? See, that sucks, yeah. Dude. It must have been promotion or something. Because, like, this movie wasn't bad. Like, what the fuck happened? They had some good actors. I mean, like, Zeph was in it. When did this movie come out? Was it, like, a summer film? Or was it, like, a fall movie? Because I'm thinking, like, if you release this in the fall, right as it starts to get cold, teen makeout movie, you're going to make a killing. A lot of people are going to see this because it's a stupid movie. I wonder what came out next to it.
It opened only on four, like, it was never huge. I mean, okay. Like, it never got more than 81 screens, which is not a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, blockbusters, like, big movies are on, like, 4,000
yeah,
screens.
Yeah,
like, this is like a small,
very small
movie.
Okay.
It started on four screens in April 2013, and then it ran for, like, 3 months.
That's a shitty time release. See, if I was their marketing director, you release it at the end of summer blockbusters, and you catch this back-to-school teenage population where they're just starting to find somebody to make out with, and that's what you do.
I want to see if I can find out what else was in theaters at that time.
Yeah, I wonder what was, like, rivaling it. Probably, like, Hunger Games. I bet it was Hunger Games or something.
No, it was actually, okay, At Any Price had a per-screen average of $4,000 a screen, which is actually, so the weekend it opened, which was on only four screens, it had a per-screen average of $4,000, which was about 15th, it was 14th, but overall it was 63rd. The new movies that week, the number one at the box office was Pain and Gain, the Michael Bay movie, which I love.
Okay.
That's with Mark Wahlberg on The Rock.
Okay.
Oblivion, that Tom Cruise sci-fi movie. 42, the Jackie Robinson movie. Some movie called The Big Wedding, which I don't
know.
Dude,
this was a shitty time for movies. I remember this time of movies when 42 came out, because that didn't do really well either.
It made $10 million. 42 made $95 million total. Yeah.
Damn. I just feel like nobody was seeing movies at this time, like, in theaters. I remember, like, there was, like, this, like, you know, nice patch. Like, that's nothing really, like, that we're like, oh, man, this was a great movie, you know? Like,
yeah, it never really did great either as a per-screen average or as a, you know, just overall. Just sort of like a flop. I mean, I don't know. I kind of want to watch the trailer now.
Same.
Now that we've seen the movie and, like, figure out, like, how they market it. Because I honestly don't know how you would do this.
Yeah, I wonder if they were, like, focusing on Zeph or focusing on the NASCAR part of it. Maybe the trailer was just way off. Yeah, we should have watched it, huh?
Probably. But, I mean, we can't be expected to do everything. I mean, we're doing a podcast about it. We can't be watching trailers.
That's like another 2 minutes of my life, dude.
This movie is a little bit longer than some of the movies we've been doing lately. It's like 1 hour 45. It's way longer than Parkland.
But it doesn't feel very long. It didn't feel like it was fluffed. It didn't feel like it was moving slow for me. For being set in Iowa and being about farming, didn't feel slow.
Well, like, the whole, I think, I don't want to say the point of the movie, but, like, the way that the movie is told, it's sort of like a slice of life. Like,
yeah.
There's specific things that happen, like, you know, it's not any day where Zeph's gonna murder a kid, or not any day that he's gonna, like, you know, win a big race and then go to, like, the minor league of NASCAR and then chicken out and then
What the fuck happened in the NASCAR thing? Because, like, all of a sudden he's getting, like, bumped a little bit, and then he has this, like, you know, flashback situation.
I think he just panics.
He panics, he closes his eyes, and then he just, like, pulls off and quits.
Because I think the whole thing is that, like, to win, you have to just, like, you have to keep the gas down and just have confidence in yourself, and I think he's just rattled, and he's like, I can't do this, and just lets off, and then lets everybody sort of pass him.
Yeah, but, like, what the fuck? Like, he was, like, winning. I think that he went in there thinking that he was going to, like, skip through this and go straight to NASCAR, and he realized that this was a little bit more difficult. And he was coming from, a race league where he was winning everything, and he didn't know how to adjust to not winning everything immediately. Which, like, I feel like I can relate to this, you know what I mean? Like, if you're, like, really good at something, then you, like, go up a scale, and you, like, meet somebody else who's really good at something, you're like, damn, like, maybe I wasn't the best at this, so.
But what's weird is that, like, he never fights to overcome that. He just sort of gives up racing altogether.
And then he just, like, gets drunk and drives into a tree.
And then has a cane, and then starts, like, smashing cars with a cane.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I don't understand, like, that's, like, there can't be a moral to this movie, because
it's not very, like, moral at all.
It's almost like, you know, like, things are going to be okay as long as you can inherit the family business. Like, you can, like, screw up your life and give up on your dreams as long as you have a daddy who's going to give you his farm.
Yeah, it's a really bastardized prodigal son story, right? Like, that's what I think this movie is. Like, that's the framework for this story. Like, the other son doesn't come back, or maybe he will or something, but, like, it's a prodigal son story. One guy leaves, they're all waiting for him, the other kid's doing good, and then he fucks up, but then he does good. You know, it's like the reverse of that.
Because, like, at the start of the movie, the dad really wants to give the farm, like, he's, like, ready to hand over the farm to the older son,
yeah.
And then, because he never comes back, he's just like, alright, I guess, like, my other son, like, it's just, he's the only other guy around,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, how shitty would that feel if you're the other son, and he's like, look, I'm gonna give you that 300 acres. Like, even Zeff in the movie's like, Dad, you were gonna give that to Grant. And he's like, yeah, but he's not here, so you're gonna get it now. And he's like, no, I don't want it. Like, I would do the same thing. That's pretty funny. You get some secondhand hand-me-down farm. Like, fuck that shit. I want my own.
Well, the dad does try to do nice
things
for Zeff.
He changes.
I mean...
So once he sees him win, the dad goes through this, like, changing period where, like, once he sees him win and he starts dealing with all the bullshit of, the, like, you know, washing the seeds, whatever, the dad starts to put more faith into Zeff. Like, he wants to, you know, like, get into his racing stuff. But for Zeff, being a kid at that age, he's like, it's too little too late. You know what I mean? Like, where were you? Like, I've been winning these races for weeks now, and, like, you don't come to any of those, and, like, now you're all stoked about it, and, like, I got shit to do. Like, I got my own friends and stuff.
Because, like, even after Zeff crashes the car, like, the dad goes out and, like, buys this whole, like, you know, it's like a sort of a fixer-upper, but, like, he buys a new race car.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, we can work on this together, and Zeff's like, no, I'm done with that. And then, like, he is done with it. Like, it's not like there's, like, ever, like, they don't overcome, like, this conflict. It's just like, no, like, that's it. Like, it's just done.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wish they would, but I mean, that would have, then it would have been really a racing movie. They would have had to, like, cut out the murder and stuff like that. Like, it would have had to been, like, Zeff's NASCAR run. You know, like, he would have had to, like, finish winning the race or something.
I mean, another at any price means that, like, you know, to bond with your son, you'll have to do, like, whatever it takes in that.
Murder.
You know, if your son doesn't want to bond over, like, fixing up a car, you guys can bond over disposing of a dead body.
Exactly, man. My dad and I have never bonded like that. I feel sad that we haven't. I'm going to call him later and ask him why we haven't killed somebody.
You still got time.
Yeah, why we haven't killed someone together. Dad, why don't we dispose of bodies together?
Well, did you hear, there's a news story that broke today, the day that we're recording this, that, you know, we're talking earlier before we started recording about Pokemon Go, that somebody was playing Pokemon Go and found a dead body?
Yeah, I don't know if all of these are clickbait yet or not. I'm still kind of on the fence about them. You know, like, I've seen, like, all of these random-ass stories, and, like, unless they're coming from CNN or New York Times, I'm not going to believe them yet.
But what I'm thinking about as we're thinking about this movie is that just, like, watching some kid, like, play Pokemon Go in the cornfield and then, like, stumble upon this hole in the ground and then find the dead body. Like, it's just, it's all coming together into one little narrative.
Or the little kid's playing Pokemon Go and falls in the hole and then he dies.
Moral of the story, look up from your phone every once in a while.
Yeah. Please pay attention to your surroundings is the, like, banner that comes on when you first start it. Okay, so I have a couple questions about this movie. So, you know, we saw the old skeezer. When she and Zeff are together, the first thing I got was the quote from Step Brothers when he's like, she got a taste of the old bull, now she wants the young calf. And, like, that's the first thing I thought. So I just instantly went back to Dale Dobek. But how the fuck did she get there? Because it's not like he really, like, ever has a cell phone. So did she just, like, show up, like, at the farm?
Where does she get where? Like, at the granary where, like, they have sex on the greens? Or are you talking about...
They had sex, yeah, yeah. They had sex, like, on the farm. And, like, if you're in the middle of nowhere, how do you not notice somebody pulled up to your farm? Or is, like, that farm part so far away from the house that, like, you don't even notice that someone comes to it?
Like, that silo that's full of corn or whatever that they...
Yeah.
Or are those seeds? I don't know what that is.
Grain.
All I'm
green.
Thinking is, like, that's super unsanitary for whoever they're selling.
I was
stuff
wondering
to.
If a lot of seeds have semen on them now.
And she was also like, oh, I lost my shoe. And I think she maybe finds the shoe, but, like, there might just be, like, a shoe in there. Like, it just...
How do you explain that to your dad? How does the people that are buying this grain, like, you're going to go make some whiskey, you're, like, scooping some out, and you're like, oh, damn. Another lady's shoe. like, what?
But, like, at the same point in the movie, like, Zeff is, like, super broody, and he's just drinking Jack out of a bottle, or drinking some kind of whiskey out of a bottle, and just, like, staring out the window. Like, he doesn't even watch her go. He's just like, I'm done. I got my fill.
Yeah,
just get
and Cadence is watching from the side. That was, like, a very weird scene of the movie.
They have a really kind of unique sort of interaction, Zeff's girlfriend and the woman that he cheats on
with.
Because, like, she goes with her friend or whatever.
This is why she's so young to me. Because, like, she looks young in the movie and she's doing, like, little kid shit. And, like, I don't know if that's, like, part of it or I don't know what was going on. But she's acting like she's 14.
They go to Heather Cram's house and they're just, like, throwing rocks. And
just,
the guy
like,
she's
at the
with
door.
Like,
they're just throwing rocks at the door.
And she's just like, oh, just like a thing to do, like it's fun or whatever. And then she throws a rock and it breaks a window. And like, let's get out of here. And then Heather Graham runs out of the house and
grabs her before she can drive away. Like trying to hop on bikes.
And like, you think like this is gonna be like the big moment. Like, you know, this is like all the cars are gonna be on the table. And like, it's over in like 8 seconds. Like Heather Graham says,
"I'm gonna call the
cops."
I'm gonna get your dad in prison.
And then Micah Monroe slaps her in the face and calls her a whore and then leaves.
She's a whore and says, "You old whore, go get your own boyfriend." I was like, "Oh damn." Yeah, that was pretty badass. I liked it.
But, like, does she ever see Zeph again? I don't think she does.
Nah, she was just kind of bitter about it, and she's young.
She leaves, and, like, she says goodbye to the dad because she sees the dad in town, and she sort of, like,
fuck Zeph,
helped the dad out, and the dad kind of, like, helped her.
Yeah,
guess,
exactly.
A little bit,
this is another part of the movie. I thought they were going to get back together. I'm really glad they're not. Threw me for a curveball. I thought they were going to be like, I forgive you, young love, we can do this. And, like, oh, she sees Zeph when Zeph comes up, like, why are you throwing rocks? And he's like, she's like, go bang her again. And they like just peace. That was a good one. Okay, can I tell you my favorite quote of the whole movie?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught it or not, but this was hands down my favorite quote of the whole movie. He's about to do the figure eight race, right? Like his family's there, and he's like, "If you win, you go in the other circuit, but you need $15,000 for it." And this kid is like, "Dude, where are we gonna get $15,000 for you to run this race?" And Zeph's like, "Well, I got it saved up from the other races," and he goes, "That is beer, and abortion money, and that's it." It was, like, the best line in the whole movie.
I heard that, but I don't think I heard the line before that. I'm like, I don't know what that's in context.
Yeah,
he
needed the $15,000.
That's great.
Yeah, that was my favorite line. So I was watching this movie, and as I see Zeph and, like, the dipshit, okay, I want Iowa Brotato, who's exactly who that was. And I wanted more of him in the movie, because he was awesome. Everything that came out of his mouth was great.
This is basically Waif if Waif was set in Iowa.
Yeah, kind of, right? Yeah, it is. Now that you said that, I didn't think about it. Yeah, like instead of him being a DJ, he's just going to be a race car driver.
Or a farmer.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he could fix up houses or farm, or he could be a DJ or a race car driver. Yeah, good point. So I'm trying to figure out in the movie if I am more of the dipshit friend or if I was more of like Zeph being the race car driver. And I just came to the terms that I was just, like, a perfect blend of both. Just, like, Zeph's good looks, dipshit, dipshit things that I say, like, this is
so
abortion
dumb.
Money.
Oh, man. Oh, that's great. That's good.
Yeah.
So at the end of the movie, the whole, like, the big conflict is that, you know, these seed guys come into town,
yeah,
and they're like, we need to look in your farm, and then I guess...
The seed FBI, like, the seed police.
The seed FBI, yeah. And then I guess, you know, he goes to the farmer that he screwed over and just like, hey, like, I'll let you rent the land again. And then I guess the guy just calls him like, oh, I got wrong information. And like, they just leave. Like, it's just resolved.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he makes that deal with the guy from the beginning, which I, you know, I'm a sucker for the full circle movie, man. Like, I want it to always be the first guy you see in the movie to be like the I watch way too much SVU to not buy into that shit. That's what I want to happen. So when he came back and I was like, oh, shit, it's this guy, I was really stoked. But yeah, so he, like, makes a deal with this guy because he, like, fucked him. Like, he bought the land and kind of kicked him off the land that he was, like, renting to farm. So he, like, signs him up and he's like, look, dude, I'll let you work the land rent-free for as long as you live. Just, like, call this off.
But, like, I want to know, like, would the seed police just leave? Like, they were called there because that guy called them. It was just like,
yeah,
there's something you should be investigating. They basically go to the farm.
But they don't
and
find
they get
anything,
chased off the
but
farm.
They don't find
but they get,
anything.
No, but they, I don't know if they
no,
don't
they
find
do,
anything. Because
he
they're
burnt
basically...
the, he burnt the records. He set them on fire. That was, like, the scene with, like, him getting out of bed. And then he, like, sets the sails on fire that were the ones that he sold the fucked seeds to. So they didn't have record of the other farms to go check, so they didn't find anything.
But, like, they can't look at the seeds?
I don't know. Maybe they're all gone.
I don't understand
They already
seeds.
Had checked his farm. They already had checked his farm, and he was like, nah. He was just selling the bullshit seeds to other people, and he got rid of the records saying he sold them to the other people, which they could have just actually got the books from the real company, which is kind of weird. But this guy, he could call them up and be like, look, I was being spiteful. This dude bought my land. I'm really bored. It's Iowa. There was nothing else to do. I just called the seed police because I was bored.
So he never really needed to make amends with that guy. He just wanted to because he felt bad?
I think that that's what it was, because he comes – well, he knew that he would keep pressing him and that he could eventually get – I think he could eventually get the books from the company. This is what I'm surmising, that he could, like, eventually keep pushing it and, like, make them get the books from the company and, like, actually find out and bust this dude. But he's like, it's just easier to unfuck this situation and, like, give this guy this farm back, make amends, and have him call it off and say, like, look, I was just being crazy. Sorry, guys. And then they'll just drop it and leave him alone.
Okay.
That's what was playing through in my head of why this was going on.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I really thought it was the fucking seed cleaner dude the whole time, man. They red herringed me. I thought it was going to be him. He kept saying, no, it's not me. And I thought he was going to be like, was it me that told the seed police, but it was me that told the other guy. You know, that's what caused Zeph to kill the dude, so.
Weren't you just saying that you've watched so many SVUs? Like, shouldn't you know what a red herring looks like?
Yeah, dude, but you have to believe. You gotta believe all in right. The red hair. Otherwise, it's stupid. If you would know that there was the murder from the beginning, which it obviously was going to be, and you don't believe that it's the red herring, then what's the point of watching the movie?
That's fair.
I like to commit to being dumb enough to believe that it's the red herring to get the enjoyment of the reveal at the end.
And then still in the back of your brain somewhere being like, oh, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, damn, right. I knew it was that guy the whole time. Yeah, you know, but, like, I want to be surprised by it, so I suppress those thoughts, if that makes any sense.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, if you thought more critically about it, you could have figured it out more, but you just sort of let it go.
Yeah, I purposely watch it just mind-numbed so that I don't pick up on what's actually happening.
Did we talk about on this podcast that, like, sometimes I wish I was dumber so I could enjoy things more?
I think about that about life all the time, my friend. The happiest people I know are some of the dumbest people I know.
Just sometimes it'd be so much easier to go through life just, like, oblivious and just, like, okay with stupidity and just, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, agreed. I would like to be really pretty and really dumb. The life would be so fucking easy.
I would say, you wouldn't like it, but, like, you wouldn't know any better. You would like it.
What do you think all of... never mind. I'm just gonna stop there before I say some fucked up shit. Okay. Yes. You would just be dumb and pretty, and everything would go fine, and you would be great. One day, when I'm reincarnated, I hope to be Paris Hilton.
I don't know about Paris Hilton anymore. I think we talked about this. I feel like I'm talking about... I know I've had this conversation with you... I don't think it was on mic, though, because we talked about, you know, you mentioned Paris Hilton. Like, Paris Hilton's sort of like an afterthought now, like Kim Kardashian, but, like, I do think...
But Paris Hilton has that family money, dog.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
But,
she's
like, so
like the
Kim Kardashian.
Perfect, yeah, but she was also, like, you know, she's being pimped out by her mom all the time. I think Paris Hilton will be the perfect way to go. Pretty, really dumb, and has money that she doesn't really even need to still do anything for. Kim Kardashian, like, still has to, like, you know, slang makeup on QVC every once in a while. Paris Hilton doesn't need to do that. She has fucking hotels, man. She's cool.
And then she had that simple... Did you watch The Simple Life? Her and Nicole Richie when they were farmers?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, they were farmers. Like, that's...
There we go.
There you go.
That's the tie-in. Perfect segue. Just go back, edit
Perfect.
This, and put this before the whole... the pretty people part. If we just readjust this, it'll sound like it made sense.
So this movie got a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is not
startled
good,
me.
I feel like...
It startled me. I thought that this was going to be a lot worse than it was. I checked it out. I saw the 58%, and I was like, you know, my critical range is 75 and up and 25 and below.
Because I feel like the most interesting movies can be around that 50-50 split. Because those are the ones that are like polarizing. The people either like get it or they don't.
So what did you see about the reviews? You said this in the beginning. What did you see about the reviews?
Yeah, okay. So it's 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, 60% or 60 on Metacritic. The AV Club gave it a C-, but Roger Ebert gave it a 4 out of 4.
Damn, really?
He loved this movie, yeah.
I can see why, dude. It's a good movie. Like, it's good. It was, yeah. Roger Ebert, maybe he was just really drunk or something.
There were a lot of debate. Like, it seems like the big sort of debate about this movie, like whether or not you bought it, is whether or not you thought how on board you were with the acting. And I think that, like, Ebert said, like, you know, all these guys nailed the small town look, but, like, other people, or the small town feel, but other people were just like, I can't get past the cardboard performances. Like, I think it's like, if you buy into what's going on, you're gonna love the movie. If you don't buy into it, then, like, it's just sort of like a melodramatic cliche of a movie.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, obviously, I was going to buy into it because, like, we have pretty unconditional love for Zeph, so I was going to buy into it. I would have pointed out if there was, you know, some bad acting or shitty dialogue or something, but he did a really good job. Yeah, I think all of them do. The dad farmer dude sells it, man. He could be any farmer. Like, I really believed he was a farmer for a while, so was good. The mom was cool.
You know what's weird about this movie? What? Two different times they have they had the national anthem. They showed the entire national anthem. They have people singing along the entire time. They have the Lord's Prayer when they're in church. They have the people sing the Lord's Prayer the entire time.
Kind of. I don't think the word is montage, but I know what you're saying. And they do kind of like to do these like really sad moments with music over it, and like the slow fade into the film. Yeah, somebody got really carried away in the editing booth, I think,
or didn't get carried away enough. It just like sort of like let it ride.
Yeah, I noticed that too. But when they were doing the Our Father in the church, I was like, okay, guys, like I get it. And then it's like they're still going, and they're like doing the search, and it's like, yeah, maybe we could have cut it down. They could have cut it down a little bit. Because like I felt like it didn't move very slow, but those couple minutes they could have definitely chopped them out and just moved the movie along a little quicker.
Oh, you know what I thought was really funny is that when Zeph, I think it's right before his big figure eight race, he's getting ready, and like that brother, like that girl comes up,
right,
her little
that.
Brother, and she's just like, oh, can he get a picture? He's like obsessed with you, and she takes a picture of the two of them, but like in the picture, Zeph is just like looking at his rival.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about like that girl's like, oh yeah, like we got the picture, but like no, you didn't get the picture because he's not even looking at the camera.
Didn't say it like sarcastically. Like I was expecting her to be like, okay, cool, we got the picture, thanks, come on, buddy, let's go. Like you're clearly preoccupied. No, she was like, we got the picture, great, yeah.
Yep, totally okay with it. Totally okay with it.
Also, see, red herring. I thought that Zeph was gonna bang that girl. They brought her in right before the race. My little brother's a big fan. That's like, you know, code for vagina pics. And then, no, he bangs the old whore. This is a good movie, man. Took me for a loop.
Did you think at any point that the dad was going to kill himself?
No, I didn't now until you just said that. But there's a lot of points where he could have wanted to kill himself. You're right.
I thought he was going to kill himself toward the end of the movie.
Yeah. Before or after the murder?
I think it could happen. I feel like this is the kind of movie where he might, like, if we follow the character after this movie ends, like, he might kill himself.
Yes, agreed now. Agreed now, but there's also now, but when you said it, there was hints of him almost killing himself before the end of the movie, too.
I wrote down in my notes, it was after he covered up the murder, but before he confessed to his wife.
Okay.
I was like, is he going to kill himself?
No, because it was like the murder, Seed Police still coming strong. Yeah, he could have definitely done it.
But he didn't.
No, he didn't. It was actually cool. Glad he didn't.
But he might. He might one day.
Maybe Grant comes back, murders him, and throws him in the same hole.
Ooh.
And wait, what was this movie called again? At any prices to the last price. Clearance. That's what it is. Come on, get it? That's funny. That was pretty...
No, I get it.
Okay, never mind. I just cracked myself up there.
I think that's all I have about this movie. Is there anything else in your notes you wanted to talk about?
No. I think that was about all I got. I actually really enjoyed this movie. I'm glad that we watched this one. This is a movie that I would have never watched before this, and I watched it and I enjoyed it. I'm going to make Rachel watch it. This was good.
The next movie we're doing is The Paperboy, which I do not know about.
Same. Maybe we should watch the trailer for this one.
No, I'm going to go into a blind.
Okay, cool. I'll watch the trailer, and I'll kind of feel it out for you.
Actually, I feel like, I don't know if it's going to be this month before The Paperboy or maybe after The Paperboy, but our Neighbors 2 episode will probably
be coming
out soon.
Yeah, we're creeping up on Neighbors 2. It actually might come out before this does.
We're recording this one early. We usually record toward the end of the month. We're recording this at the beginning of July. Yeah. So I don't know when it's going to hit Blu-ray or VOD. I think we looked it up last time. I don't remember, but it'll be out sooner or later. Yeah.
That's cool. A lot of Zack Attack coming
up. I didn't talk about Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. I mean, this will sort of be old news by the time this episode comes out, but I saw that. It's now out officially as we're talking about this. I saw it sort of an advance sneak peek. It's written by the guys who wrote the Neighbors movies. I know, right? Written by the guys who did the Neighbors movies, who wrote the Neighbors movies. It's very funny. It's not, like, I think that Neighbors is, like, really, for what it is, it's, like, really inventive, I think.
Okay.
I think it's something that we haven't really seen. This is less so. This is more,
like, cookie-cutter comedy situation.
Sort of. It's like two screw-up guys need dates for their sister's wedding in Hawaii, and so they put out an ad that goes viral, and these two, like, crazy party girls sort of, you know, find the ad and then
same two chicks from Dirty Grandpa?
No.
One of them's
Aubrey Plaza from it, yeah.
But the other one
kind of
looks like her, right?
It's not Zoe Dutch. Anna Kendrick is, like, famous Zoe Dutch.
Okay, yeah, they look very similar. So, like, when I was seeing the previews, what's her name? Aubrey Plaza. She's going to start selling these, like, fake slutty roles, man. This is the second one I'm going to see her in. I'm excited for it. Not going to lie. Not going to lie here. I had to... Never mind. I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that one. Actually, I'll say it anyways. Right. I was watching the thing. I was thinking, damn, she's looking really hot. And I had to be like, wow, I really like her as an actress, to Rachel. Because I was giggling at the screen. Yeah, hopefully she doesn't listen to this.
But she might. Don't you listen to this with her?
Sometimes.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. Sorry.
Cool. So I think that's it. This was a good one. This is... I'm always worried, as I'm looking at the list, that, like, one of these movies that we're not going to know about, like, he's suddenly not going to be a leading actor
anymore. Yeah, we're going to get to that point soon, man.
But we have, like almost, like, a year down the road if we're doing a one-a-month.
Yeah, because, like, Charlie St. Cloud,
17 yep. again, he's the star. The High School Musicals, yep. he's the star. I think me and Orson Welles, he's, like, second. Like, he's, I think, really, he's sort of the lead for a while.
To be honest, I didn't think that Zac Efron was in this many movies. Like, even looking at the list, I didn't think that he was starring in this many movies. He has, like, a very prolific career for his age.
We have, right now, 29 movies on our list, including 4, including Neighbors 2, that aren't out yet. Or that aren't, you know, there's Neighbors 2, there's Mike and Dave, there's Baywatch, and there's The Masterpiece. So, excluding those, there's still 25 movies, and that's not to mention the 10 or so TV series that he did one episode of that we're not going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm interested to get to Summerland, which we're going to get to at the end of next year, so not anytime soon, but he was on a bunch of episodes of a TV show, so
Ooh.
Sort of interesting to see what we'll do for that. So look out for that December 1st, 2017.
I'm going to flash back to this episode and make you add that clip in. Be like,
right,
we talked about
ahead.
It. I'm not going to remember.
If you remember
I'm absolutely
it, I'll do
not.
It.
Can you set a reminder like normal to,
no.
to remind me to remind you to... Okay, never mind.
Just tell Siri to do it.
You tell Siri to do it.
For all things Zach Attack, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub. You can find all of our past podcasts, see what's coming next. See other podcasts that we've done or that they're on the network, like Cage Club, and Keanu Club, and Monkey Club, and Now and Again, and all these different podcasts. So head there for if you're bored and looking for things to listen to, entertain yourself with some of our free content. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we'll see you next time on Zach Attack.